And then let's stand together one more time. Luke chapter 6. Did you find your place? You'd stand with me. All right. So Luke chapter 6, we're going to look at the very end of the chapter. Look at verse number 46. I'll kind of catch you up where we are, but a familiar passage. I don't think it's going to be anything new. I don't think that I'm going to be super deep tonight. I think it's just a good reminder, especially as we come into the new year and just some things to think about. So Luke chapter 6 and verse number 46, you'll see this is Jesus speaking here. He says this, "And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently. Immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." We're going to talk tonight about just having a firm foundation. So let's pray one more time. And we'll dive in. Heavenly Father God, again, I thank you for a time around your word, God. I pray that you'd help myself now just to speak, God, with clarity. God, I pray that as your word brings truth, God, I pray that you would bring that truth tonight, Lord. I pray that as we start this new year, God, that we would build on a sure and solid and firm foundation, which we know is Jesus Christ, Lord. And I pray that we'd see that from your teaching and help us to understand the importance of and how we can do that, Lord. I just pray again that you'd bless the rest of our evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. 1174, construction began on an 8-story bell tower in the city of Pisa, Italy. Does anybody know what it is? Leaning Tower of Pisa. I know of a few of people that have been there before, but it's pretty familiar. There's just one small problem. The builders quickly realized the soil was much softer than they had anticipated. They'd not dug the foundation deep enough. It was only about 9 feet deep to support this giant structure. It took, this is mind-blowing to me, it took 176 years to finish that thing because of wars and bankruptcy. It didn't take that long, but it just because they had to keep on doing it. Along the way, the architects, they tried to compensate for the tilt. They tried working on the foundation, which actually caused it to lean more, and they even built one of the floors at an angle to make it look straight on the top, okay? So one of the sides is shorter than the other. The tower, this is amazing to me, has stood now for 800 years, but it leans 18 feet away from where it should be. Okay? One guy, when he was writing about this Leaning Tower of Pisa, he said this, "The builders were in such a hurry to go up that they didn't take the time to go down. And the foundation that they built this thing on was flimsy at best, and we see what happens because of that." In this sermon of Jesus Christ, he's laying down some basics for the human, for the Christian life. If you ever heard of Matthew chapter 5 through 7, it's a pretty familiar passage. Matthew chapter 5 through 7 is the Sermon on the Mount, right? And we know the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount is the Beatitudes. Remember those? And he goes, if you read Luke chapter 6, this whole passage, you'll see a lot of similarities. It's almost like a condensed version of the Sermon on the Mount. The Reader's Digest, not Reader, what is the Cliff Notes, right? The Cliff Notes version of the Sermon on the Mount. It's real short, but a lot of similarities. And there's like some people think it's the same sermon, like it's just like Luke just condensed it, but people think it was at a different time. It doesn't really matter. But in this sermon, if you read it, he speaks on a lot of different topics. He talks about how to love your enemies. He talks about how to give generously. He talks about mercy. He talks about how to about judging others. He talks about being introspective of your own heart. Remember the whole thing about the mote in your eye and all that? He talks about living the Christian life and not just talking about it. He talks about the fruit of your life. Whatever is inside is going to come out. He talks about all those different things. And he then ends his sermon with this story, a familiar story, right? A lot of us, I was going to sing the song tonight, "The Wise Men Built His House Upon the Rock," right? I'm not going to sing that because I'm not going to say, okay? Maybe at the end we'll have that as our invitation song, okay? But Jesus wanted his hearers to understand how important it was to get their lives founded on him, okay, on his words, so that when the winds and the waves, okay, when they did come, that they'd be ready, okay? And Jesus wants the same thing for us. He wants us so when the winds and the waves, which are coming, they are coming. It's a sure thing that those things are going to come. That we cannot, well, it's not up there anymore, but we cannot be like that Leaning Tower of Pisa. We will not fall astray. We will not collapse like this, like one of these people in this story. We will not have that kind of foundation. So how can we do this? Well, I think Jesus shows us how we can be like this guy who built his house on the rock. The first thing we see him teaching here is this whole idea of hearing and doing. Look at verse 46 and 47. The Bible says this again. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. We all know there's a difference between, especially for us with kids, we know there's a huge difference between hearing and listening, right? Hearing is just like this noise, right? That you've been there, okay? Some of you, that's right now. You're like, I'm just hearing this guy. There's no. So we know there's this difference. Right now we're dealing with my kids. And I love my kids. I love all of them, right? But there's this big thing that they do right now, and especially to my wife, they try to get her attention. They say, Mom, 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 Mom. And by the first time, my wife's already, she's already recognized the kid. You know, she's already said yes, and they just keep going because they don't realize. They just want to talk, you know? And there's this difference between hearing and listening. You ever been on a plane? My favorite part of a plane trip is when the stewardesses get up there and they're doing the seatbelt thing and they're doing the evacuation thing and nobody is listening, right? You look over and the people have headphones on, they're reading a book, they're doing whatever they're doing, and they're definitely not hearing. My favorite is when I'm looking at the emergency row people and they're just doing whatever they're doing and they're like, if the plane goes down, we're dying. We're all going to die in this plane. You know, there's a difference between hearing and listening. And there's also a big difference between listening and then doing. And that's what Jesus is bringing up here. Jesus, again, wraps up his teaching by speaking on the importance of attentive obedience. I want you to hear, yes. I want you to listen to what I'm saying, yes. But more so than that, I also want you to do. Because what's the point of knowledge here without action? Again, Jesus talks about subjects like how to deal with circumstances in your lives, how to deal with people in your life, how to deal with your own self. But what he's saying here is you have learned all of these things, and we can look back and say, they learned all these things from the master teacher. Now, what are you going to do with them, is what Jesus is saying. You hear all this stuff, but what are you going to do with them? Don't only hear what Jesus is saying, but put those words into practice. A lot of people think that you come to church and you hear a sermon or you do a quick read of the Bible, that's what makes them grow. But that's not, it's not just the hearing, but it's also the doing. Hearing's important. Listening is important, right? We're going to get into some of those things, but that's important. But a more important, Jesus is saying, is to put that into action. Flip over, keep your finger here, but flip over to James chapter 1. I think there's a pretty familiar passage. I think you guys know where I'm going with this. But James chapter 1, verse number 22. Just see this. Everybody there? James 1:22 says this, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. James compares the word of God to a mirror. What do we use mirrors for? We use mirrors to examine ourselves, right? How am I looking today? Is this presentable? Should I go outside or should I put a little bit more work into this thing? You know, we use it to examine ourselves. He brings up a couple of wrong ways to use the mirror. If you look at it first, he talks about just glancing into the mirror. Sometimes you can tell when people do this, right? They just, yeah, that's good enough, you know, and they just go out. They just go out on their own way, and they just take a quick glance, and then they're out doing whatever they're doing. And he talks about how that's the wrong way to use this mirror. That's the wrong way in what James is talking about hearing the word of God. Don't just take a glance at it. Don't just use it something very flippantly. Okay? This could, in our practical lives, this could be just reading the Bible as just like a religious exercise, right? It's the beginning of the year. It is January 2nd. Right? Maybe some of you had said, like, I'm going to read through the Bible this year, or I'm going to read the Bible more, or something along those lines. And sometimes we can get into this mode where reading the Bible is just, we're just doing that. We're just kind of glancing at it. It's just kind of a thing to do. It's just kind of a thing we need to check off of our list, right? And it just becomes this kind of religious exercise. And he says, be careful of that. Sometimes we just glance at it. Maybe it's church is just a thing to do, right? It's not really we're taking the time to really think about, okay, what does God have for me here? What does God want for me there? But church is just a thing to do. But when we look into, like when we dive into God's word, we see ourselves for who we really are. And that's what God wants us to do when we look into his word. It's not just like a glancing. It's not just a reading of these neat little stories. It's, okay, here is God. Here's who he is. And here is who he's showing me to be, right? We took, I didn't take him. Alicia took him, Titus to the dentist the other day. And it was a day after Christmas, something like that. We look in his mouth and he has this like bubble in his gums. I'm sorry if anybody's squeamish, but he had this bubble on his gum, and it was weird, you know. So we thought that he maybe got like food stuck up in there. I don't know if that's possible, but that's what we thought. And so we took him to the dentist. This was months and months and months and months ago. Okay, we took him to the dentist, and he had some work done. And he does not do good at the dentist. I don't know how many of you guys do good at the dentist, but my 5-year-old son does not do good at the dentist. And the dentist at first, he started to do some work on it. And then eventually he just said, you know what, because he can't, if I'm remembering the story right, he said, yeah, we can't really, it's not really, we can't do work because he's so squeamish, okay? So we'll just kind of leave it there and it'll fall out. You know, he had a cavity on the tip of his tooth. If you would have seen it, it was getting bad. But they said, you know what, it'll fall out eventually. Well, fast forward, 8 months. Now he has this like thing up in his gums, and we took him to the dentist thinking that, okay, what can they do? And they said, well, it's that tooth that's infected, that tooth that the other dentist said, you know, it'll be okay. And it had infected the gums. So what happened, they had to pull it out right then and there. So if you go see Titus right now, he doesn't have a front tooth. Both of my older kids, they're missing their front teeth. So they look pretty funny. So that song, All I Want for Christmas, they both could have sang that. And but if you go to see him, he doesn't have that. You know what I was thankful for? I was thankful for a dentist that took like a deeper look, you know, to see what was really going on. And that silly example, I know, but that's what God wants us to do when we're reading the Word of God. He wants us to take a deeper look to see, okay, God, what do you have for me? What do you want me to change? What do you want me to do? There's a purpose in reading this. But not only does he talk about using the mirror in the wrong way, just glancing at it, just kind of going through it real flippantly, but he also talks about being a forgetful hearer, right? A forgetful. I don't know, I was trying to figure out how can you be forgetful in the mirror. You ever forgotten to brush your teeth? That's gross, you know, but I've done it. I don't know if you've done it, but we've all done it maybe. You ever forgotten to do your hair? I don't know if I've ever forgotten to do my hair, but you ever looked at yourself in the mirror and you thought you were all put together? You got outside and apparently you weren't put together. You know, Brother Lee just pointed out the fact that I have some stain right here. I'm sure it's one of my kids. I have some stain on my pants that everybody's going to look at now. But, you forget. You maybe have seen it and then you forget about it and then you don't do anything about it. And then somebody shows you and you're like, oh, I'm an idiot. You know, you feel like you feel a little ashamed. You feel a little foolish. But maybe that could happen. How can that happen in our own lives? Well, maybe. Hey, God is using, maybe through your scripture reading or maybe through sitting in a church service, God is speaking to you, right? And God is saying, this is what I want you to do. I want you to, you're hearing this and you're being attentive and I want you to do this. But maybe the cares of the world, maybe you get a little distracted and you forget and maybe you don't put, you know, maybe you don't go to the altar to make a decision. Maybe you just don't start to put feet to it. And then you just kind of go in your own way and you get busy in life and you forget about what happened. Does that make sense? Maybe we're just forgetful about, you know, who we were or where we came from or what we were saved from. He talks about being careful about being a forgetful hearer. Don't forget what God is trying to do in your life. Okay, those are the wrong ways that James points out to use the mirror, but also there's a right way. Look at again in verse number 25. He says this, but whoso will look at the perfect law of liberty and continue it therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The right way to use the mirror is to gaze into it carefully and with serious intent. It says the word continueth. That word continue means to put some work into it, right? To put some effort into it, to put some time into it. Jesus' emphasis, if you go back to Luke chapter 6, Jesus' emphasis here was on obedience. Again, look at verse 46 one more time. It says this, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Do anybody know what the word Lord means? Class time. Anybody know what the word Lord means? Master. Okay, you ever remember like back in medieval times, you have like the lords, you know, it just the word just means master. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Why you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things that I tell you to do? I can't be your master if you're not obeying me, is what he's saying. Jesus here Sometimes we look at the story of the wise man and the foolish man. We see the wise man built his house on the rock, the foolish man built his house on the sand, or here the earth is what it says. And we look at that foolish guy and we say, well, Jesus must have been talking about saved people and unsaved people, right? The wise man, the people, we're going to build our whole life, we're going to get saved. When those waves come, we're not going to fall down. And then those unsaved people, they're building their house on the sand. They're gonna crumble when the waves come. And I don't know if that's necessarily the case. I think that can be one application, but I think that he's bringing up another, because why would somebody call Jesus Lord, right? So what I think Jesus is doing here is I think he's also calling out the religious people to really think about what they're building their lives upon. What are they really trusting in as their solid foundation? He was challenging them to determine what they were trusting their foundation to be. But if they weren't obeying, can they really call him their master? So real quick, just like a side note, is there something that God wants you, that you've heard, that God is speaking to you, maybe that he wants you to obey even right now? Is there something that, it's the New Year's. How many of you guys made New Year's resolutions? Already broke them. This is a perfect time for something like this, to think, okay, God, I know that towards the end of the year, maybe I was lacking in my prayer. Maybe I was lacking in my Bible reading. Maybe I was lacking in something, in my spiritual life that I know that you want me to change. Maybe that's God's way of saying, okay, you know this, you've heard this, I've been working on you, now do something about it. Put some feet to those things, okay? If it is Bible reading, maybe get a Bible reading schedule. Maybe you've tried it before, but when I don't have a schedule and I'm just kind of like poking around, it's not as consistent as it should be, right? Get an accountability partner. Get somebody to say, hey, can we just text back and forth? Can we talk back and forth to see if we've read our Bible today? Do something along those lines. Put some feet, put some action to those things. And I started writing, this is on yesterday. Yesterday, I can't believe yesterday was New Year's. It feels today was a long day, but I started writing down some things, in my journal, and I started writing like more of this. It was just kind of like broad, like more. I want more prayer, and I want more. I put more memorization of scripture, It was just more. And it was like a really like lofty, like, what does that mean, So I scratched all those out and I said, okay, what do I really want? And then it's to do specific, measurable, and spiritual goals. I'd encourage you to do that. If God wants you to do something, man, take the time now to obey. Okay? So not only do I see this whole idea of hearing and doing, then he gets into number two. He talks about digging deep. This is my favorite part of this, but digging deep. You guys know the story of the three little pigs, right? It's my kids' favorite story for me to tell them. You know why? Because I don't know any other stories, and I tell them the three little pigs all the time. Okay, I'm terrible at making up stories. And so three little pigs. You know the story? There's three pigs, and each of them build their house out of something else, right? There's one that builds their house out of hay, straw, right? The second one builds his house out of sticks, right? The third one builds his house out of, oh man, Dakota's got it. So hay, straw, sticks, and bricks, right? And the two first brothers with their weak houses, right? They laughed at the older brother because it took him so long. He was working so hard. Big bad wolf came, right? Blew those first two houses down. The third one, the brick house, stayed right, right? So that the story of the three little pigs, it brings up a good lesson. The work, the more solid the house. And I know that's a silly illustration again, but that's what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus talked about digging deep. Look again at verse number 48. The Bible says this: he's like a man which built a house and digged deep, okay, and laid the foundation on a rock. This involved work, right? This involved strenuous effort. This involved a lot of time for this guy to do. This isn't something that's just, again, like, hey, let's just do this. Okay, this took some time on this man, this guy's life. The same thing's true with us. The wise builder is one who, again in verse 47, comes to Jesus, listens to his words, and then puts those words into practice. It takes some effort. It takes some work on our part. So how do we do this? Well, we have to put ourselves in the place where we will hear, but also that we will do. And again, I'm not being super deep here, and I'm not trying to get like super deep and theological here. These are super practical, and I think, it's just going to be like, yeah, Brother Farmer, duh. But the first thing we can do, how do we do this? How do we dig deep? Well, number one is just through reading and through study of the Word of God. It's so basic, yet it is so necessary. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. A lot of times when you're talking about the word of God, you'll see words like study. You'll see words like meditate, right? Those, a lot of times when you come across what to do with scripture, those are the words that you see. Those things require work. Those things require a little bit extra effort to study something, to meditate. It means to ponder on these things. But that's what God wants us to do with his word. Getting to know what you believe and why you believe it will help set you on that firm foundation. The word of God is vital. Why? Because it's truth, and it'll help us to understand this is what truth is. We talked about this on Sunday, if you were here, but Sunday night, we talked about Paul's letter to the Colossians. Do you remember this? And he was writing it for a reason, and the reason was to battle some false teachings that came in. And so often, Paul warns his followers in his letters to the people to be careful of these false doctrines that are coming in. I'll read a couple verses, but Colossians 2:8, Paul says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. He writes to the Ephesians in Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. God wants us to be rooted and grounded and studying the Word of God so that we will know truth, so that when false doctrines, when false teachers, when whatever comes our way, we'll understand that's not true. This is the truth. Okay? And this is what I know because God's Word tells me so. That's why it's so important to study. That is why it's so important to get into the Word of God. I love to, when I first got into college, 18-year-old, thinking, you're 18, you think you know everything, you think you run the world, all this stuff. And I loved to go out, when we would go out soul winning, there's in Lancaster, there's a ton of Jehovah's Witnesses, going around. And me and my friend, my other friend who was 18, so we, it was like double, we knew everything, And we loved to go up and debate these people, And it was just like what we did. And I got shut down so many times, because I wasn't grounded. And but what I came to learn, as I matured a little bit more, is more so than just studying what other people believe. Like, it's good to know what Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, all those people believe. But what's more important to understand, this is what I believe. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he is God in the flesh. I believe that the Word of God is infallible. It's inspired. It's authoritative by God and those different things. So when we hear things that counteract those, we understand, no, that's not right. There's something wrong there. And you need to be grounded. You need to study the Word of God so that you can know lies when they do come. So you will understand those false teachings. But not only that, we should understand, I believe we should, as Christians, we should dive deep into doctrine. We should understand why we believe what we believe so that we can give an answer when it's asked upon us. But more so than that, we should just use the Bible to get to know God in an even deeper way, right? We talked about this the other night as well on Sunday night, that one of the ways that God reveals himself is through his Son, Jesus Christ. Another way God has done it is through his Word. Right? God reveals himself, who he is, through his word. And it's so important for us to get into the Bible so that we can understand him in an even deeper and greater way. Ian Bounds said this. He said this about getting into your word and having devotions and not making it be in a rush time. He said this, short devotions are the bane of deep piety. Calmness, grasp, strength are never the companions of hurry. Short devotions deplete spiritual vigor. Arrest spiritual progress, sap spiritual foundations, blight the root and bloom of spiritual life. They are the prolific source of backsliding, the sure indication of superficial piety. They deceive, blight, rot the sea, and impoverish the soul. He's not talking about no devotions. He's talking about hurried or rushed. So what he's trying to say is, man, use this time, because this time with God, that's what's going to change you. You want to look up a great verse, look up 1 Corinthians 3:18. Talks about what the Bible can do through you, about changing you by just spending time with God through his word. Take time to build your personal walk with God by getting to know him through his word. Okay? So how do we dig deep? First, get into that word. Dive deep into that word. Dig deep into that word. Second, anybody want to guess what it is? Prayer. I know, I'm deep, right? So through prayer. Jesus not only taught on prayer multiple times, he also demonstrated it. If you look back in Luke chapter 6 and verse number 12, the Bible says, it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Okay, Jesus, often, multiple times throughout the Gospels, you'll see Jesus setting himself setting time aside to pray. Prayer is our communion with God, right? We understand, and this is how I teach the kids, you know, reading the Bible is God's way of speaking to us. Prayer is our way of speaking with God, and it's our way of communing with God. We learned on Sunday, if you remember from Brother Fox, that we get to enter God's presence, right, because of what Jesus Christ did for us. We learned from Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. How awesome is that? Let's take full advantage of that, right? You think about this. With the Bible and with prayer, you think about, through the Bible, God, creator of everything, you know, omnipotent, omniscient, all those things. He wrote a book, and we get to read it every day. How awesome is that? Not only that, but through prayer, God wants us to commune with him every single day. Man, that just blows my mind that he wants to do that. He wants to spend time with me. Prayer also reminds us that we're not in control, right? Prayer forces me to humbly go before God and say, God, this situation is out of my control, but I know that you are in control. Which really, this whole idea of learning about how to get, you know, build on the solid foundation, God is, we lean into him even more so. We trust him even more so by understanding that it's not all up to us. So how do we dig deep? We dig deep by getting into scripture. We dig deep by praying, but we also dig deep through church. Hey, put yourself under the preaching and teaching of God's word. Do what you're doing right now. Put yourself in a place where you will hear teaching, you will hear preaching, to where you can get in a place where you can hear and then do. It's funny. How many of you guys have ever gone out to teen camp with us before? You've been up there for a service or whatever? When you're up there, it's pretty amazing. And you wonder, man, the kids come up here and then they give these testimonies and everything. And you think about, man, that was such an awesome time. And it really is such an awesome time. But what's so awesome about it is the fact that how much preaching and how much teaching there is. I mean, what is it? I can't even count. And there's a lot, there's 8 to 9, you know, different services during the course of the week, and there's a lot of it. So how come the kids make such good decisions? How come they were so deeply impacted? Well, they were under the word of God constantly. Not only that, I mean, they were in the word, you know, in their daily devotions every day. And there's something behind that, okay? There's something to that. When you come to church, expect God to do something. I think, and I wholeheartedly believe that every time the word of God is opened, the Bible says the word of God, it's not going to return void. Right, it's quick. The Bible says it's alive, it's active, it's going to do all those things. When you come to church, be expectant that God wants to talk to you about something. It's not a waste. Don't just waste the opportunity to come to church and hear God's word preached and then just not do anything about it. Don't just go to church though. Be involved in the church. Get involved with the people of God and learn from them and serve them and do what you can. Invest in them. So go to, how do we dig deep? Again, we do it through reading, we do it through prayer, we do it through church. And all of this digging, what's the goal? Was to build a genuine relationship with God. If you want to have a firm foundation, you know what the key is? To have a genuine relationship with God. That'll be the strongest and firmest foundation you can have. Number three, okay, is standing firm. Okay, look at verse number, let's read 48 and 49 one more time before we close up. 48 says this, he is like a man which built an house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. You ever been on a hike or climbing or something, you thought you had sure footing? You ever been there? I was going through some old pictures, and there's this one, I think it was like 2 years ago, we were hiking somewhere, I don't even know, remember where, somewhere back there, and Haley was crossing the stream, you know, and she crossed it great. I don't know if you remember this, but she was crossed it fine. She was stepping on stones and everything, and she did fine, you know, and then she was making her way back, and she stepped onto the rock that she was coming back over, and guess what happened? She fell right in the stream. You know, you ever been there before? You thought you had sure footing, you thought, and then you fell. Well, that's what happened here. There's two guarantees that I see that Jesus brings up in the end of this story. I think the first guarantee is the fact that floods are going to come, right? There's no doubts that floods will come. And I think the second guarantee is the results of whichever foundation you build upon. Like, they're going to happen. Floods are going to come, okay? These storms are going to come. And whichever foundation you build on, that's going to determine what will happen. Not what might, what will happen. There are no doubts, again, that floods will come. And I think that every single one of us in this room can say that that is true. Trials are going to come. Temptations are going to come. All these things, they're going to come. I'm going to read just a couple of verses. Acts 14:22. This is talking about Paul. He said, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. Why? And that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Through much tribulation. He's talking about that because just a few verses, he was stoned just before that. You know, he's like, yeah, through much tribulation, we're going to enter into the kingdom of God. 1 Peter 1:9 says, beloved, thinking not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Okay? I don't think God, I don't think the Bible, I don't think Paul, I don't think they ever cover up that. Life's going to be difficult at times. You know, there's going to be things that come our way. It may be different to different people, those different trials, those different things that are going to come our way. But guess what? They are coming, and that's what Jesus is saying here. There's a guarantee that these things are coming. But the question is, what happens when the floods do come? If for us as Christians, it'll prove what we've been building on. It'll prove what our foundation is. And we see I'm going to point out the wrong thing first, which is in verse 49. We see the wrong foundation. Just like the time we thought we had sure footing, just at that time Haley thought, hey, I'm good to go, and she slips and gets her foot all wet. Okay, I'm sure this man thought he was just fine. You think about this, and it's like, this guy was such a fool, right? He's building his house on something that has a shaky foundation. And you think, like, why is Jesus pointing out something that's so obvious? And I don't think that's necessarily the case. I don't think that's what Jesus is trying to point out here. What I'm saying is, I wonder how long that guy's house was up. And he said, like, man, things are going pretty good. You know, I have beachfront property. Things are going well, right? And I wonder how long that thing stood. And he thought, like, you know what? I'm okay. And he was pretty sure of himself, okay? But this is where we need to truly determine also what we're building and trusting that foundation to be. Okay? We may be in that position too and not even know it. Say, okay, God, what am I really trusting in? When storms do come, when those floods do come, which foundation am I on? What am I really trusting in? For some people, it's a person. Maybe it's parents, children, a spouse, or a good friend. Maybe that's what your foundation is. Okay? For some, it's yourself. It's your own intelligence, your self-reliance, a talent, or a skill. For some people, it's their position or prestige or their financial well-being. But the problem with all of these things is that they're all something or someone that you can lose, right? And all those things can fail you at some point, and that's what happened to this guy. Something failed, and that foundation that he was resting on, it just collapsed. The Bible says great was the fall of it, okay? But then Jesus talks about the right foundation. That time and attention and work you put into digging deep in your relationship with Christ will prove itself during the floods. Nobody thinks about during times of calm. Nobody really thinks about the foundation, right? But during the time of calm, when you're building on and you're working on and you're again building on that right foundation, that's the time when the floods do come, that those things are going to come to prove themselves. Psalm 55:22 says this, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. How awesome is that? If you're building on that right foundation, you'll never be moved. There will be bumps along the way, right? A lot of times you go through these trials, you go through these different things, and you may not come out unscathed. Maybe not everything was perfect. But like Job, think about Job and all he went through. He said this, Job 20:10, but he, that's talking about God, knoweth the way that I take, and when he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Hey, Job knew, yeah, maybe I have this sure foundation, and I knew of a person, I know he has a reason, sorry, behind everything that he's doing, and I'll come forth as gold. And there's one and only one place to get that foundation, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Okay? So what are you building on? Where is your foundation? Where is your source of trust is really what Jesus is saying. In 1807, construction began on a lighthouse on the Fife coast in northeastern Scotland. As many as 6 ships every winter would be smashed against the rocks. We have that picture, Stephen. If you look on these rocks, every winter up to 6 or more ships would be smashed up against those rocks. Many attempts had previously been made with no success. The rock that was to be built on would be covered with 16 feet of water twice a day. Okay. You look at it, that's low tide right now, but you can see the dirt and all that grime up there would go up two times every day as high tide would come in. It'd go up that high. Okay? This thing was 11 miles out from the land. The designer knew the importance of a strong foundation. Remember talking about the Tower of Pisa? Have that in your mind. 9 feet down, okay? And this thing was on land, the Tower of Pisa. Well, this guy, the designer, knew the importance of a strong foundation. A circular pit was dug about 3 feet down where the foundation blocks would be laid. 123 interlocking stones that weighed more than a ton each were used to shore up that foundation. They laid 25 layers of these stones to make a foundation more than 30 feet high for the structure to stand on. This is the Bell Rock Lighthouse. You can look it up. And it's the world's oldest surviving sea-washed lighthouse. It's still standing today, over 200 years later. The question is, think about the Leaning Tower of Pisa, think of the Bell Rock Lighthouse. Which structure would you rather be like? Okay, there's one way to be like this lighthouse that has stood the test of time, beating winds continuously. Think about the Tower of Pisa. Can you go back to the other picture? It's beautiful. It's peaceful. And it's leaning because it had the wrong foundation. The other one, again, constantly beaten upon, but it has the right foundation and still standing. Which structure do you want to be? Build your life on the principles of God's word. Don't only hear those things, though, but do them. And you'll have that firm foundation so that when the storms of life come, and we know that they will come, you'll be ready and you'll be prepared for them. Let's pray. We'll jump. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much again for this truth, God. I thank you, God, that we have a place that we can run to for a sure foundation, God. And we thank you, God, that we all have the opportunity to have that foundation, God. I pray that you'd help us really as we're starting fresh. It's a new year, God. We get to look forward to just new things, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to make goals, God, to establish ourselves on the foundation, which is you, God. I pray that as we go to church this year, I pray that as we read our Bibles this year, as we spend time in prayer this year, that it wouldn't be just something we do, just something we go through the motions, God. But I pray that as you speak to us, God, as you move us in a certain direction, God, that we would be obedient and that we would be doers of the word, God, so that we can, God, be truthful when we call you Lord, when we call you Master. God, help us when those times of trial come, when those times of temptations come, Lord, that we can say we are on the solid rock, God. We are on a solid foundation. So stand up together, and I'm just going to...